The Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask for anything, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Invite you to be seated. Many people have heard this text here today as readings at a funeral. Am I right? A lot of people have heard this reading as a funeral. It's a favorite text. Very comforting for grievers and preachers alike. In funeral sermons, the words usually point to Jesus preparing a place for us in heaven, which is why we find so much comfort in them at a funeral. But originally, to the disciples, Jesus spoke these words for the exact opposite reason: to prepare his disciples for their place on earth after he was executed. So just imagine the scenario. This happens on the night of the betrayal, the night of the Last Supper with his disciples. And in John's gospel, Jesus acts the role of servant and washes their feet during dinner, and he reveals that one of them will betray him. As soon as Judas leaves the building, Jesus says that the plans are in motion, and he'll presently be glorified, meaning executed on a cross. Jesus tells his disciples that he'll no longer be with them. He's leaving, going to the Father. And, by the way, Peter, you're not going to like it very much when a rooster crows for the third time. Then immediately after that begins today's gospel readings with the words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled," the first words of a four-chapter farewell speech or sermon from Jesus to them. How is he preparing everything for them? By hanging from a cross. He's going to get executed. He uses the words, "in my Father's house," and then describes himself in terms of that house, the dwelling place of God, in whom God's words are spoken and works are done. They don't get it, kind of like us a lot of the times, and ask him where he's going and how to get there. Jesus finally says that it's not about going anywhere. It's not about a place at all. He says, "I am the place and the way there and the road, the vehicle in which you journey and the goal." That's Augustine from the 4th century interpreting this. "I am the road, the vehicle in which you journey, and the goal." Augustine interpreting Jesus' words. So you see, originally these words were to comfort kind of clueless disciples who were about to feel abandoned and confused. Jesus tries to prepare them for their place on earth after his execution. Now, I have to say a few things about the words, "No one comes to the Father but through me," because a lot of people hear those words as excluding, or like in other words, all other religions are invalid. But that interpretation has a lot of assumptions underneath it that I don't agree with, and I don't hear in this text. What if the words here aren't a theoretical religious doctrine, but a lavish promise to distressed followers, written by John in a time of persecution and beheadings? What if the intention isn't to draw boundaries on a religion that doesn't even exist when these words are written, but to assure folks who were confused and frightened? Also, every religion has its understanding of human relationship to God and how that happens. "No one comes to the Father but through me," does say something about Christianity, as in addition to be words of comfort to people who know Jesus and don't know Almighty God in the future. The ancient understanding, "through me," is not the popular 20th century's evangelical one of a personal relationship through Jesus, through me. More aptly, a personal choice of Jesus or religion. No, John's understanding, I think, is the exact opposite. "Through me" points to the cross, the human rejection of God, not acceptance, not choice, which is the climax of John's gospel and how he begins it. "He came to a people who rejected him." It points to our relationship to God being up to God and God's mercy, not up to us. Through Jesus, imagines the very nature and being of God as love and not power, a love that sacrifices itself for the other, the cross. For John, this is the Father. And John's writing in a time of persecution and force coming at them and violence. John sees that one cannot hold this picture of a God who sacrifices himself and also hold another image of God, that God's nature is power or judgment or force. "Nobody comes through the Father, to the Father, but through me," I hear, meaning in short, we give up all of our human ways of coming to the Father and trust God for it. That's through Jesus. You see how these words are not about a way to get to God, but that Jesus is God's way to us, revealing his inmost nature. Jesus promises that the Father really is in him. The words are a promise given in the midst of confusion and fear about the future and later persecution. And I don't think, even though we don't live in a country in which Christians are persecuted, are beheaded for saying that they're Christian, I don't think that they're the only ones still who've ever faced things like feeling abandoned by God. So for those who feel that God is far off, those who feel that their faith is dried up, those who want God to show himself to them in a miraculous way, "Show us the Father," as Philip did, to those among us, and inside of each of us possibly right now, hear Jesus' words anew. "If you know me, you will know the Father also." Jesus prepared a place for you by the cross to prepare you to be one with God. And he takes you to himself through the waters of baptism, in the word, within the meal. Jesus takes you to himself through these things as we gather in his name. Believe him, that is, trust him. And in doing so, we experience life in his name, which is John's whole purpose in writing the gospel in the first place. In John's final closing words, he writes, "These things, this whole thing, is written so that you may come to believe, trust, that Jesus is the Messiah of God, and that through trusting, you may have life in his name." Which is Jesus' purpose in baptizing us and coming to us, so that in the face of fear and anxiety and abandonment, in the face of much that we experience in our life, that we would know that God loves us, claims us as beloved and his royal chosen people, is with us and hasn't forsaken us. And not only that, but even experience life, abundant life in his name in this world. Now, as I said, we don't have to worry about getting stoned to death for our trust, as Stephen did, or for claiming that we're Christian. We probably won't even be persecuted for our trust in Jesus as those were to whom Peter wrote about Jesus as the stone that the builders rejected. But life does take some surprising turns for us, even because of our trust in Christ. Jesus' original words were intended to prepare us for life on earth without his presence. But when our life on earth ends, we can also trust that Jesus prepares a place for us in the next world too. So then, whether in this world or in the next, we have his word that wherever Jesus is, there we will be too. Amen.